Let us pray. Holy Creator, the earth is yours and all that is in it. We give you thanks for the beauty of the earth, for the creatures that fill it, and for your providence, which stands beneath and above and within it all. Now grant us hearts open to your grace, eyes open to your wonders, and ears open to your holy word. Let your Holy Spirit dwell with us, that we may be renewed in our commitment to the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. Listen for God's word. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 to 23. Listen for the word of the Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy God, I pray that you speak through me, and when and where necessary, in spite of me. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning, we heard one of the more familiar parables offered by Jesus to the crowd, the parable of the sower, as it is known by many. But as I immersed myself in the scripture text, I came to realize that there are many other parts to the parable, characters, if you will, that illuminate different parts of the story. And anyone will tell you that what you title a story sets the stage for how one interprets or takes in the message of that story. For example, being this called the parable of the sower, it brings to mind many different questions about that sower. Is he a landowner? Or is he an unpaid or underpaid worker? Does that make a difference in how we view him and his work? Is he being careless? Is he ignorant? Is he desperate for yield? Or is he being generous in abundance of sowing? We do not know the answers to these questions, but they do offer many different ways to engage with this parable and perhaps see ourselves in it. But the parable, at least in the explanation, seems to have very little to do with the sower himself. So what if we renamed it? What if we named this parable the parable of the sowing, the act of planting and tilling? That offers an interesting twist to allow a deeper dive into how we actually sow the seeds. Or what about the parable of the soils? Most of the explanation directly addresses the type of soil, the landing grounds of the seeds thrown. Some with thorns, some shallow, some not even on soil but a path, and of course some in good soil. Taking the parable this way opens our eyes to the soils we might see around us in our own lives. And we will come back to this. But first, I want to look at this parable through another lens, the parable of the seed, or for alliterative effect, the parable of the planted. And to do this, let's spend some time talking about trees. A fairly easy jump to make, given that our scripture from Isaiah this morning mentions the cypress and the myrtle. Trees are amazing. And planting some of my own in our backyard, I have learned that it may take a while for what you see above ground to actually grow. Why? Because the tree spends the first few years of life growing downward, establishing deep and spreading roots. And that is what allows the tree to grow, to flourish, and to produce leaves, fruits, and flowers. Just think about that for a moment. A tree spends the first bit of its life growing down into darkness before it ever starts growing up towards the light. And eventually the tree has this mirroring image above and below the soil, one half in the light and the other half in darkness. Not long ago, I attended a scriptural reasoning session where ecumenical clergy discussed this exact image as a metaphor for experiencing joy amidst suffering. I offer it to you this morning because I think it similarly illustrates well the idea that even in harsh soils, riddled with rocks and weeds, we can grow in the darkness. What is more, the roots of trees, especially aged and well-established trees, are incredibly strong. Have you ever wandered down a sidewalk only to find yourself tripping on a brick or a slab of concrete displaced by a tree root? I certainly have. Or have you ever been on a hike where you come to an overlook to find vast images and also trees seemingly growing out of and through the rocks. Tree roots can grow in and through some of the most intense conditions, and yes, the trees still thrive. Soil health does matter, and of course, a healthy soil is likely preferred by the trees. But given the time to root and with the nurturing of those root systems, trees can and do grow in all sorts of conditions. And so can we. So, with this lens in mind, think about your own root systems. Maybe you find yourself exhausted and grouchy. And you realize it's because you spend too much time immersed in the headlines and the blasts on social media. Consider taking some time away from the phone and instead reading a novel, studying scripture, praying and talking with God, taking a walk in the woods, observing the intricacy of creation, noticing the trees of the fields and the birds of the air. Or maybe you find yourself not really knowing who your friends are. And you realize that your relationships are built on being in the in-group that thrives on gossip and being in the know. Take some time. Look inward. And build out your root system with a community who loves, who cares, who shows compassion, rather than sneers at the latest mistake, or uses others for information, or judges others by their looks. Whatever comes to mind for you, as you think about where you are planted, imagine that you are the seed or the tree. And as you establish your root system, whether you feel like you are in a time of darkness or light, explore what it means for you to bear fruit. Yes, we all feel thorny and prickly at times, especially when we are exhausted or run down or stressed. But with the years spent developing those sturdy roots, fed and nourished by the Holy Spirit, we can bear fruit even in the least fertile ground. And that fruit can take many forms. It does not stop at simply telling people of the good news of the kingdom. The fruit is also living out the good news of the kingdom. Invite people into conversation. Really listen to their story even as you share yours. Build relationships based on care and compassion that celebrate diversity instead of sowing divisions based on differences. Be hospitable. And even if you are uncomfortable in conversation, which as an introvert I often am, offer shelter or shade on a hot day. Offer a place to relax and play. After all, who doesn't like climbing trees? Or offer a snack, a nice piece of fruit to quench the hunger of a passerby. You can't always choose your soils, and you can't always force those soils to be good ones. The parable of the planted becomes much less about the soil type and much more about the seed, how we root ourselves so deeply in God's love and grow that love out into the world. Now that I have planted the tree metaphor firmly in your mind, let us attempt to sow this all together and return to the sower. Imagine you are he. And imagine that you are in a land that is rocky and dry and overgrown with weeds, certainly not great conditions to grow and bear fruit. Do you move to another location? Do you scatter the seeds anyway and hope for the best? Or do you find ways of tending and tilling the soil and the seeds such that they can bear fruit? Gardening is work, often hard work. And we are called to be the hands and feet of God, the master gardener of all creation, tending and tilling and caring for all creation. That means, as we are able, removing the rocks of oppression from the soil, watering the dry land with God's peace and justice overflowing, removing the thorns of violence with love and light, fertilizing the seeds with food for the hungry, protecting those who are scared, unloved and unseen, from the vultures that prey on the vulnerable. If we are the sower, then this is indeed our job. It is more than simply scattering seeds. It is actively participating in and rooting ourselves in God's work in the world to build up the kingdom here and now and the kingdom to come. And here comes one of the great both and conundrums of our faith. It isn't about us. It isn't just up to us, what we say and what we do. Yes, this is our job and we are called to it, but the rest of the work is up to God. And no matter how infertile the land or how dry the season or how much or little seed we throw, God works wonders in creation. We are not the judge of whether the soil is too shallow. It matters not. God takes root there, and the fruit of the kingdom blossoms for all. God's mercy is never cut off for anyone. And that truly is a reason for us to join with all creation, going out in joy and peace, bursting into song with the mountains and clapping our hands with the trees of the field. May God's love for the whole world, the love in which we as God's beloved are planted and firmly rooted, shine forth through the fruit we bear, the good news that we share, and the rejoicing we do in both the darkness and the light. Amen.